Representative Broderick, move that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 14 as found on page 824 of the House Journal be adopted.
Is there a second? The comments on that motion, Representative Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. The Conference Committee on Senate Bill 14 met this morning, and we had good testimony. And the, as you can see from the report that was distributed, is what we did is we came to what we considered to be a fair compromise on the question of the qualifications of the administrator of the Human Services Center in Yankton. The compromise that we reached is the amendment that was proposed by Representative Hunhoff when this bill was presented to the House. And I hope that you can concur with this Conference Committee report. It's probably in some eyes not the perfect solution, but I think that it's a fair solution to what we've been asked to do. Thank you very much.
Further remarks on the Broderick motion. Representative Don Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I have, a substitute motion.
State your substitute motion.
I would recommend that we not concur and reappoint.
Not adopt and reappoint. That's your substitute motion. Comments on that substitute motion. Representative Hennies.
Thank you. Yesterday, and or whenever, the day before yesterday, when we talked about this issue, we had Representative Hunhoff's amendment before us, and a substitute motion came from Representative Van Etten. And it was a very convincing motion. Matter of fact, it passed out of this body, if I'm not mistaken, it was 60-8 in favor of that motion. Now, Representative Broderick and I have a difference of opinion here because he says the Conference Committee compromised, and in my opinion, it was not a compromise. I think both of those other amendments hoghouse the original bill, and in my opinion, this just brings us another bill right now. That being said, that's not the issue. The worst thing that could happen right now if we reappoint and can't come to a conclusion is that the existing law would remain in effect. There's already a temporary administrator at the Human Services Center, so the argument that we would not be able to appoint an administrator, I don't think it carries water. I think that in a year, 10 months, we're going to have a new governor and we're going to have a new legislature. Imagine that. All new people with new ideas. I think that we should have one more chance to try to work out the differences so that some of what we thought about yesterday is represented in the so-called compromise with the Conference Committee. So I would urge you to support my substitute motion to not appoint and to, what did I make a motion on anyway?
It was...
yes, on my substitute motion. Thank you.
Further remarks on the substitute motion, Representative Abdallah. And again, these are substitute motion that we do not adopt and appoint a new committee. Representative Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. Leader, or Mr. Speaker. I urge this body to resist that motion. We've talked this bill to death. It's a good bill now. It has a good amendment on it. I supported the other amendment, and maybe it was a little too harsh, and that's why cooler heads prevailed, and we've got a good amendment on it now. All parties involved, most of the parties involved, are in agreement. I think it's a good bill. Let's pass it and get on. Otherwise, we're going to fool around, and we're not going to have a bill. To worry about who's administering the center now is a waste of time. This law, if passed, wouldn't go into effect till July 1st. And the administrator serves at the pleasure of the governor. We know that whatever happens, the present administrator is going to serve until 2003. Let's plan for the future. Let's pass this bill and quit debating it and quit butchering it up, and let's move on.
Further remarks, Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. First of all, I want to say thank you to the members of the House. If anything, we have raised the awareness of the concerns for the appropriate administrator at HSC. One thing I want you to think about, this is the only law that I know or statute that describes who should be the administrator and what the credentials should be. The reason I came back with this report, and I want to tell you that both Representative Van Etten and myself did attend the conference committee meeting this morning when they met on this. The issues that we've been discussing all along have been, one, appropriate education, and number two, some type of experience in a mental health setting. In the amended bill as of yesterday, it was stated that the qualifications would be a bachelor's, I believe, in public or health services administration, which was very good. This expands it. You might say, why do I need to expand it? Well, as I said yesterday, or I guess I didn't have opportunity, I couldn't apply for this position being a registered nurse because I don't fit the criteria in that sense. A social worker would not fit this criteria. A psychologist would not fit this criteria. Now, I would say that those people are competent if they had the experience to go with it. And there are people currently in that facility that have those kind of backgrounds that the bill as it currently is amended would not allow them to provide or to at least apply for the position. Secondly, was a concern for experience. And I know it was spelled out again, in a mental health clinic or a mental hospital. Yes, but then what do we do about some of those individuals that, say, work in a different setting, an adjustment training center? Let's use that for an example. Those individuals in an adjustment training center, they have sometimes mental disabilities along with the physical disabilities. We would then exclude those individuals. So what this amendment is attempting to do, or what is being put in place, is to expand so that we can have an appropriate pool of candidates. And the other piece I want to say is the secretary was present at the hearing this morning. She was asked two questions. One, would the current interim individual be able to be a candidate? Her response was, I have to look at the credentials. The second question, of the pool of candidates you have currently, would any fit this job description if these were the credentials for at least getting an interview? And she said, yes, 10 of those applicants would. And I think that's the point we have to keep in mind. The other thing you need to keep in mind, in state statute, it says that that human service director serves at the pleasure of the secretary of the department. So again, that person is there. That is the way it is in state statute. All this is doing is, yes, it's widening the pool, but do you want to exclude some of those services that I mentioned? And when we talk about experiences, if we don't say mental health setting, we are restricting, and we may lose some good viable candidates here in South Dakota. I know it's difficult. We have debated this, and you've been very patient. But what I'm asking you today is vote your conscience, but please don't let the interim or that. We're looking at what's the best opening credentials that someone can be an applicant, at least to come to the table to say, please consider my resume for this position. I ask you to please not support my colleague Representative Henney's substitute motion, vote against it, and then vote the amendment through. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks on the substitute motion. Representative Van Etten.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment dumbs down the position to the point where we don't have to have somebody who has necessarily a degree in administration. As Representative Hunhoff stated, she or I could take this position. I don't think that when we put out 58 people in the state of South Dakota from our current universities that have a bachelor's or a master's degree in administration per year that we should have anybody in this position to run a $31 million hospital that does not have a degree in administration. It also says that a mental health setting is adequate for this person's mental health experience. By law, in 27A-1-10, a mental health setting is one in which the diagnosis and treatment of mental and emotional disorders is the primary task of the mental health professional. A mental health setting may be a clinic, hospital, social service agency, private professional service provider, residential facility, mental health center, or other entity in which a mental health professional provides diagnosis and treatment of mental and emotional disorders. In other words, a social service agency would qualify. A private professional service provider, that could just be an office that you could work in and get your mental health setting experience. The amendment which we placed on this a couple days ago says you should have a degree in public or health services administration and 2 years of progressively responsible experience in a mental health clinic or a mental hospital. The point has been made that the current administrator is probably going to be there till the end of the current governor's term. And we can't do anything about that. But I would submit that when we start looking for somebody else, when the new governor comes in, that if we're really concerned about this position and its quality, that we ought to have more extended credentials than we are putting in by making the amendment which came back from the conference committee today. So I would think that we ought to go ahead and not do this, but go ahead with the amendment that we put on it the other day. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Tom Hennies on the comments on the substitute motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I generally support the compromise, but that's exactly what it is, I think, is a compromise. But you know, we've got a lot of time left and little to do, and rather than sit here on the floor and wonder what's happening in the conference committees or with leadership when they're trying to do this, why not support this bill? What have we got to lose? Or why not support this motion? We can go back and try one more time to see if we can make it any better, and if not, those among you who have your doubts will know that you got one or the other. Right now, if we vote for this thing and vote it down and go on, there will always be the doubt that maybe if I'd have held out, we could have got something better. I suggest that we do not adopt the Commerce Committee report, that we reappoint, and when we come back, we'll be exactly where we are right now with the knowledge that we can or cannot get it better. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks on the substitute motion. Representative Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I have a great deal of respect for Representative Van Etten and where he's coming from on this. But very frankly, I think that what the conference committee did in reaching the compromise that we reached in adopting the Representative Hunhoff's amendment that was proposed to this House either yesterday or the day before is the most appropriate thing to do. And I would agree with Representative Tom Hennies in his comments, excuse me, and I respectfully disagree with his younger brother on his comments. This amendment was not a hoghouse of Senate Bill 14. This amendment was simply that, an amendment that reached a compromise, not necessarily the best in Dr. Van Etten's eyes, but it was the best in the eyes of the six members of this conference committee, and I urge you to defeat the motion by Representative Don Hennies and adopt the conference committee report. Thank you.
Further remarks on the substitute motion. Representative Bill Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I would ask you also to defeat the Hennies motion and concur with this report. I think we need to just take a brief step back and ask ourselves this question. There's been an awful lot of controversy in the last couple of months about the interim appointment at the center in Yankton. Had that controversy over the individual who was appointed as the interim director had not occurred and soured this issue, and if we had come forward with this language that is before you in the report of the conference committee, and if you looked at it with fresh eyes, not tainted by the emotions that we have discussed here on this floor, I think everybody in this body would vote for this amendment and say this is exactly what we should do, that this is an improvement over what we currently have in state law. There are two issues here that as public policy, as a matter of public policy, we have to look at and ask ourselves about. The first issue is the current law, a good law for a requirement for the director of the Human Services Center. I think everybody in this room would agree that it is not, that it is overly restrictive, that it restricts us in the number of candidates, of qualified candidates that we want to have serve as the director down there. The second question we need to ask ourselves, is this an improvement? Is this conference committee report an improvement? And if we were to look at this as with fresh eyes and a fresh approach, I think, again, we'd say the answer is yes. Because we're requiring them for the first time to have a degree in either mental health administration, health services administration, public administration, human services, or business administration with at least 3 years of experience, one of which shall be in a mental health setting, or have a master's degree with at least 2 years of experience in administration with 1 year in a mental health setting. These are very specific and very tough criteria. They're very appropriate criteria, and they're ones that we should support because it will improve the position of human services, or of the director at the Human Services Center. There's really, we talk about compromise, we're mixed up in the emotions of who this compromise might be with, but this is a good amendment. It will improve the position, it will improve the quality of the candidates who apply for it, and it's one that we should pass. We gain nothing today by delaying this and looking at it one more time. We have the answer to the situation in Yankton in hand, and we need simply to pass that by not adopting the substitute motion by Representative Hennies and by adopting the conference committee report. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
For your remarks on the substitute motion, Representative Klocek.
Question of Representative Peterson.
State your question.
Representative Peterson, I understand when the Board of Regents goes through their process for selecting the presidents of the university, go through quite a grueling process. Would they approve of a person that was in the higher education field that was there for only 2 years?
Representative,
he must have a hot phone call, Mr. Speaker.
Could you restate the question, please, Representative Klocek?
Mr. Speaker, thank you for the opportunity. Mr. Peterson, would you, in your vast knowledge of the higher education system, when they go to appoint a president nominate a president for a university, do they appoint them based on the fact that they have only 2 years of experience in the education field?
Representative Peterson, do you care to answer the question?
I would say the answer to that question is no. I know a very prominent attorney from Yankton, South Dakota, who is appointed to be president of the University of South Dakota. As far as I know, he had no experience at all in the education field. He's been one of the best presidents I think the university's ever had.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Mel Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully call the question on the substitute motion.
Is there a second? All those in favor of the substitute, of calling the question, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Question is the Representative Donna Haney's motion, substitute motion that the House do not adopt the report on House Senate Bill 14 and that a new committee be appointed. Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. The question before the House of Representatives, therefore, is the Representative Don Henney's motion that a substitute motion, rather, that the House do not adopt the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 14 and that a new committee be appointed. Those in favor of the substitute motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Representatives Van Norman and Davis. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 20, nays 48, excused 2.
The Haney substitute motion, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members present, is hereby declared lost. Further remarks on the Broderick motion to adopt. Hearing no further remarks, the question before the House of Representatives is the Broderick motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 14 be adopted. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Representative Lou Siebert.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, up to my right in the gallery is my wife and a couple of grandchildren and my daughter, Jeannie, from Rapid City, who's a probation officer out there.
You're welcome.
Representative Olson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote, please.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 51, nays 17, excused 2.
The Broderick motion that the report of the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 14 be adopted, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.